The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Please turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I got all these notes. Recognize teams, you know, because I'll forget on my notepad here. But I think we've got through everything. Ephesians chapter 3. We have been running through Ephesians at a neck-break speed. And you know I'm lying. Paul, he was leaving finally to Jerusalem, where he knew that he was going to go to Rome from Jerusalem. And he was talking to the Ephesus elders, the Ephesians. And he was there at Miletus. Miletus is a little island or little peninsula out from Ephesus. And he told them they were crying and were hugging each other. And just about the last thing Paul says, I have not failed to give you the full counsel, to teach you the full counsel of God. And so that's why we do that. We teach the full counsel of God. We don't teach about the Bible. We teach the Bible. And so if you're here for a year or so, you're theologians. You can go out and teach now. And so encouraging you to pick up your word and study it yourselves. And so that's what we do here. However, I've come up on a verse starting in verse 13. We left off verse 12. Talking about the boldness, about coming into the throne room of God. There we see in 1 Peter and also in Hebrews where you come boldly before God because now we are children of God. And so verse 13 then, I read it and it dawned on me, wait, I need to camp out here for a second. So this morning, we're going to camp out a little bit on verse 13. Verse 12 says that we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Jesus. Therefore, verse 13, an operative verse this morning, therefore, because of that, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is, by the way, your glory. Father, we ask God that you simply bless this message this morning. Teach it to us, Lord. Let not one person leave this room without being changed to the image of your Son. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Well, what does that mean anyway? And how does that work in our lives today? What's going on with all that? Well, this morning, Paul is going to answer that question for us in this one scripture, verse 13. In our text, Paul declares right off the front porch, don't lose heart over my problems, over any troubles I've going on. Why? Because they're for you. I don't get that, Paul. You're speaking in circles to me. You're going through trouble, but they're for me? How does that play out in our lives? Well, the answer is, in his tribulation, in his confinement, Paul was a living demonstration of what it means to have Christ living in him, the hope of glory. You can look at Paul's life and go, man, look at what's going on in there. The people in Ephesus and the Philippi, they look at him and go, man, he's look what he's going through. And wow, isn't that, that's God's all about that. You know, A.W. Tozer, he's one of my favorite devotions that I read. A.W. Tozer was right when he said that before God can use a man greatly, many of you know this, he must allow him to be hurt deeply. What? No, I don't think so. I don't want to be used greatly, you know? That's not the way it works in his kingdom. That's in heaven, okay? That's like later, forever. But here, it's a good thing to fellowship in his sufferings. Oh, man, there you go again. Sufferings. Fellowship in his sufferings. And then we got even have people that want to drive hundreds of miles to be able to fellowship in his sufferings by helping others to be hurt deeply. Why? Because the old adage is this, and it's so true. I understand this. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Amen? That's right. I mean, I've seen that in the projects that these guys have been doing out there. They're out there and they're helping and they ask, us, well, how much is this going to cost? Nothing. Just like salvation. What? Nothing. Nothing. Just let us help you. Do you know what that does to the modern world today? They don't get that, man. They don't understand that. There's always something for something. And so we're bringing Jesus to the unsaved and the helpless. So what makes us care in our service to people? Our interaction with people. For a clear understanding, Paul gives the answer in 2 Corinthians verses 3 through 5 when he writes, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of our comfort." That's cool. The last word is comfort. And that gets your attention a little bit, doesn't it? Oh, we know if we're Christians, that's an awesome God and all. But then you hit that word comfort. Ooh, I like that. Let's move on. Who comforts us in all our tribulations. All in the Greek means what? You guys are brilliant. That we may be able to comfort those. Why? What? What's the reason? That we might be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Wow! That's why I go through stuff that I go through, so I can comfort these other guys over here. What if I don't like him, Lord? Do I still have to comfort them? Yes. You went through that. That's the way God rolls. That's the way he is. That's how our Lord Jesus did us and his family. Whoa, isn't that something? In other words, the degree of the crushing and tribulations and difficulty in which we find ourselves will be the degree of consolation you will receive. You get that, right? And consolation comes to us in order that we may then turn and comfort others with the comfort that we have found in Jesus. And doesn't that make perfect sense in a messed up world? Church, this passage is so important. And this one's, in short, repeat a little. God allows us to go through crushing trials, like Paul did, in order that we can explore and experience his presence and his comfort and then share it with others. Explore, right? And experience. I don't want to explore anything that with tribulation involved. He allows it. If you're rich, poor, doesn't matter. Male, female. If you're his, he's going to do this great work in and through you. And oh, by the way, it's called a testimony, okay? Use it. You know what Revelation 21 says? What puts the devil on the run? Well, we know it's the blood of the Lamb, but what else? Right? Testimony of the saints. Use that testimony. Be able to speak it out. Not in a prideful way. Give God all the glory. Don't hide it. I personally believe it's in our darkest times that we only really truly receive from those who have gone through similar difficulties. Sometimes we're such hard people. Sometimes it's so hard-hearted, right? That God can't get to them unless he's prepared a way and he's softened them through difficulties. Our ears are often wide open at that time. We're listening more keenly. You see, church, it's when the one who has walked on the same path we're walking says, "I've found consolation in Christ." Man, that's when their words are like water in a desert of our souls. Have you ever experienced that? You're going through something horrendous, and someone comes and, hey, I just went through that, man. I've gone through, hey, and let me tell you how, what happened with me and how, and you just go, yes, I need that water because right now I'm in a desert. I don't know where to go. And those words that you give, awesome stuff. It's just not simply telling a theory. You're just not telling them some book knowledge of you can be the best you can be. Or you know, some nonsense like that. And it's just not, you know, book theory. It's from the heart. You're telling them that you've been through it, experienced it personally and practically. In other words, up close and personal. Up close and personal. You've heard the saying, I've walked a mile in your shoes. And that's what I'm talking about. And people know that. See, when you start speaking to them about whatever they're going through, and you go, look, I've walked a mile in your shoes, and let me tell you why, and you start to do specifics. I find this in many, many areas. But one of the areas I find it in that my late son has spoken to me about is people that are addicted, have addiction problems. And you start talking to them, and God's delivered you from that, and you're way beyond that. But you can still relate to them because you can tell them, I know, I was there once. I hurt like that. You crawl up in a ball. You do this. You're thinking these things. And the addict looks and goes, that guy has been through it. Because you don't know until you've been there. And that's what my son had told me. I go, but son, I don't know how to do that. I'm as clean as a driven snow. I've never sinned in my life. That's what he did. He laughed. Dad, I grew up with you. Come on. And so anything you've gone through, you can relate to the other person, whatever it might be, because you've been there. You've done that. And that's why in talking about his own ministry here in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul declares, don't faint. No, don't lose heart because of our tribulation. In fact, it's for you. So God meets us and comforts us in the dungeons of our life, in the dungeons of our hearts, and he comforts us. Difficulties in our tribulations. Why? So we can comfort others. That's our testimony, Paul says. And to Paul, I go, right on, brother. Because I don't think I could have made it without those that came to me in the bad old days and was able to help. And so, church, are you smelling what I'm cooking? Are you smelling this? Are you getting this? It's so important to remember this, to share with others. And then when something happens to yourself, you go, you know what, I'm going to go down and talk to whatever, whoever. Because I know they've probably gone through this before. Seeking out help with one another. That's how we do. That's what a family of God is. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, when we were growing up, we told each other about everything, except sometimes for my sister, because she would tell on us. See, she was the little one. But we do. We need to remember this. Understand this. Because it will come into your life, both areas, you know, experience hardships, and then you will be able to speak encouragement in others' lives in the same area. Now, not only does God use tribulation to comfort saints, we understand that, right? Tribulation to comfort saints. Secondly, if you're taking notes, he also uses it to convince the sinner. What? Sure. Well, then how? How does he do that? To confront the sinner, to confront the world. It plays out like this, gang. Many non-believers, have been witnessed to hundreds of times by sincere Christians. My goodness, we got the Billy Graham crusades. We got the Greg Laurie crusades. We got all kinds of crusades going on, and people are constantly witnessing. There was a study done by Teen Challenge in this county. It said something like, I don't know exactly, but it was up in the 90s or 80s, high 80s, low 90s. Of people that said they were believers. They were saved. They knew Jesus. And then they asked them, how many went to church? Do you know how many went to church About 40%, 30 to 40. And this is the Bible Belt. They're unchurched. Really? Unchurched? I wish you were asking, how many times have you been witnessed to? They'd probably say hundreds. Well, then what's up? What's going on? I don't get that. Yet they remain removed or unmoved and removed from church and unmoved because they are, and check this out, unknowingly waiting to see Jesus through us. See, unknowingly because they really don't know what's going to light the fuse. But when they see Christians out there mucking out their houses for nothing, and they've come where? New Jersey, South Carolina. Are you kidding me? What is it that you guys are doing? Are you crazy? You've been drinking joy juice? What's up? And then you witness and you tell them what's up. We've had several of those people from Vast, that's a pretty long haul, come here to church. They're amazed at what they've seen. And one particular person, he was a GI, he said, he's a vet, he said, I've heard a lot of people, but I've seen this church. I've seen it. And so that's the ticket here. They unknowingly waiting to see the mystery of Christ, which lives within us. Not just talking about it, but walking it. And so how would this happen? Well, here in Ephesians 3, as we have read, Paul links the answer to his own difficulties, as I have spoken about before. You see, folks, we have this light in vessels. We are vessels. And by the way, all of you, you're clay. You're stankin' clay. Okay. You're just dirt. Sorry. You're earthen vessels, the Bible tells us, right? But hey, for some reason, God Almighty likes to take stuff that just there's nothing to make something out of it. You know, most of you, one day God was hanging out. He was kind of bored. And so what he did, he reached down into the humanity and pulled up the slimiest thing he could get his hands on, put them up on his trophy and sprinkled blood on them. And that's your trophy of grace. And that was you. He does that. So what he does, he decides to put his light in earthen vessels, us, right? We get saved, whether something happens in our life, we know Christ is in us. And look, I hate to tell you though, and I don't know how you feel about this, but if you're saved, you are possessed by the Holy Spirit. I tell sometimes, you got to be careful about telling unsaved people that. They get really freaked out, you know. But it is. And so there's this light in us, a light. Well, to better illustrate this New Testament biblical principle, many times we can look into the Old Testament for stories, right? And illustrations to kind of make it look, understand it better. We're like kids. We're like children. We love stories. And we can understand principles better if we use these stories. And so, in Judges chapter 7, you won't need to turn there, but you can write it down as a reference and read it later. Judges 7 tells us innumerable grasshoppers. Actually, it said they were like locusts. The Midianites were an intimidating enemy for sure, indeed. Nevertheless, God instructed Gideon, many of you know the story, right? Gideon to take only 300 men to go to battle against them. Now, if you know the story, he started out with like 22,000 and God whittled him down to 300. I would have hated to be Gideon. Man, I was like, what are you doing, Lord? 300 against like hundreds of thousands? And so, but that's what happened. Well, after choosing his men, Gideon gave each one a trumpet, a jar, and a torch, and led them up into the hills surrounding the valley where the Midianites slept. Then, following his lead, Gideon's men blew their trumpets. Let's stop there for a minute. I have a shofar in my office. And last night when I was writing this, I thought, who in our congregation, when I say this, can blow it from the back? Nobody. All you get is, so he blew the trumpet and broke their earthen vessels, each of which contained a lit torch inside. Hearing the commotion, the Mennonites woke up seeing the torches. And when the oxygen hit the torches, they just, kind of a thing. Each of which, they assumed, represented at least a division of soldiers of 1,000. So figure it out. That'd be 300,000 people they thought was coming. They grabbed their swords and in their confusion began swinging wildly. The Bible says, destroying one another in the process. And so Gideon's men experienced firsthand what happens when light comes pouring forth from a broken vessel. Amen? Are you catching it now? Exactly. So what's the giddy up here, Pastor Ben? Just this, gang. We have this treasure, the light of the world. Jesus, our Christ, in these earthen vessels, declares Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:7. But how is Jesus seen by the world out there? How's the Lord seen? Not when things are comfy and cushy and easy. Not when things are hunky-dory. In fact, the world, especially the news, they hate that, don't they? They just, oh, man, when Christians do something great, they just like downplay it. They don't want anyone to know about it. I mean, God forbid if any Christian said, I won the lottery. That would not be good, would it? If you do win the lottery, two things. Number one, you be quiet about it. No one knows. Number two, you tithe 10% right here at this church. Yeah. I like your thinking more than that. Yeah. And so here we find that's not what turns the world on. No. In fact, the world is not impressed with those kind of things from us. The enemy is not beaten back by that. No, instead, church, and hear this, please hear this. It's a life lesson. The world wants to see the mystery of Christ in us and not just hear about it. Oh, hearing about it is good too. Hearing, you know, the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. But they want to be able to see it as well, especially nowadays. Back in the day, in Christ's day, they saw it all right. They saw it when the animals and the lions ate Christians. And they sit there praising God while they were eaten. Not so much now, right? Right. Sad. That's why I'm so glad that we did what we did. We said yes to this disaster relief. And I really thank you guys and thank the whole church for what you've been doing. You see, they only see it when the vessel is broken, and then light pours out. That's when the world sees Christ, when we're broken. Maybe at the office, maybe anywhere that you're working or baseball teams that you coach or whatever, when they know that you're broken. Well, how about this? They see it, wife, when your husband walks out on you unexpectedly. And yet you keep worshiping the Lord faithfully. They see it, Dad, when the doctors say it's malignant. And yet you remain strong in your faith. Or when the business goes belly up. Or when your teenager breaks your heart. Boy, I've been there. And when you get cut from the team there, teenager. Or when you don't make the squad. When you live for years with chronic disease and chronic illnesses. When you travel hundreds of miles. And sleep on air mattresses. And there's Sunday school. Just so you can help others. That's when the light comes out. That's when our vessels are broken. And that's when the rubber meets the road. And aha, people get to see the light in the earthen vessels as the vessel is broken. And the light of Christ pours out. They see it. They get to see Christ in you in the hope of glory. And in seeing this great and magnificent and awesome mystery that they continue to see day after day after day, they cannot say no to Jesus. They can't. They look at you and go, what is that you got? What is it that runs you? What is this thing inside you that just completely just runs your life and you completely just engulfed with nothing but love? Where you get that? Please tell me. And then you get to tell them. And you lead them to the Master. Amen.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.